Brian, let's not talk about me.
Why not?
We did a whole
episode. That's my favorite topic.
Did a whole episode about me. I'm doing well.
Have you been given a full bill of health? In other words, are you allowed to do whatever you want? What the heck is happening?
I am back to the gym, sir.
Okay.
I'm elliptical, kid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm walking to work.
Whoa. This is good.
Yeah, only one way a day.
When do you get to run?
I'm looking at May 1.
Okay, so that is unchanged.
Let's give that some time.
So all the recent events, the recent potentially tragic events.
Averted. We believe so.
Are you still on massive amounts of blood thinners?
Not massive, but daily.
Oof. So well, what do I know? I knew but the it's better than the alternative, potential alternative, so whatever, take them, of course.
Interestingly, this is the longest I've gone without hurting myself.
Or broccoli.
Or kale. So if I can just keep up the streak of not cutting myself.
I have an idea. Cutting?
Yeah, I mean like shaving by accident.
Oh, God, I thought we were going in a very dark place. Well, you know, the DVT was not cool.
No.
I want to ask you a question.
Go ahead.
Because you are a person who likes to go from 0 to 100. You are a person who likes to go
How I like my throttle? Full.
Yeah.
That's how I like it.
Or you like the engine out of the car on the lawn.
Just put some roller skates underneath it.
It's one or the other.
Just do it.
So you and I were just talking.
No, I don't want to talk about this. That's private chat that you and offline.
Come on.
I mentioned a small project I'm noodling with.
It's not running related, which is why I think I can bring it up.
Interestingly, that's right. It's not.
All you mentioned was something. You said, hey, I'd like to walk across the country.
In 100 days. Which is plenty of time.
You have plenty, 10 miles a day.
Yeah, I can do that.
And it's not. It's more than 1,000 miles.
No, it's 1,000 hours, dude.
Oh, 1,000 hours.
Oh, yeah. No, not 1,000 miles. It's 3,000 miles.
Yeah. Okay.
I have to walk about 10 hours a day.
That's a lot of walking. What else do you have to do?
What are you going
to
do in the month of June, July? Right.
What else are you going to do?
Get out there. Do it.
The run director of the Barkley Marathons did this last year.
Oh, yes.
Lazarus Lake. I can't remember his real name
right
now.
He did it in a weird time of year.
Well, I think he did in the summertime.
Was it summer?
Although the odd thing is I just rewatched the Barkley movie.
Yes.
Actually, just last week.
Yes.
I was inspired to rewatch
it. Sure.
And I did. But then I forgot to go read about how his walk across the country. I read about the Massachusetts part when he was doing it.
That's where he started.
You and I failed to go meet him. We could have just run out and seen him.
No, he started in Maine. He came down into Massachusetts.
Right, and by the time he was through our area.
Did he start in Rhode Island? I feel like he started in Rhode Island.
Maybe. Oh, he was going
we
from...
We don't have enough information.
He was going from one city with... Newport, Rhode Island to Newport, Oregon. I think that's what it was.
Perfect.
It's good
enough.
What's
wrong with that?
No one else is going to use the web to check our facts. Anyway, the point was... I did not continue to read his daily blog posts. They were interesting, but
I'll need to do that for my homework.
It was one of those things where it's like, I'm not doing it, so I'm not as interested, but I would read yours, obviously.
Well, that's good, because you'll probably be in the chase van, so you'll have plenty of time.
Do you need a van?
I don't know what
that
I need.
It seems like a lot of horsepower to follow you while you're walking.
When you and I were just having lunch and I was noodling this idea out loud
I love everything about it.
I said, you understand I won't be camping. I'll be staying at a hotel.
And I said, have you just won the lottery?
Because you think it's $200 a night to stay in any given hotel.
Even in
100 nights.
Yeah, even in places where it doesn't cost a lot.
I'm going to need a GoFundMe campaign.
Okay.
I need shoe money.
Yeah, you're going to go through a lot of shoes.
I'm going to go through some shoes.
Yeah. You're going to need sunscreen money.
A hat. I need a really nice hat.
You know, I've seen these documentaries where the people push like the baby carriage full of like their supplies.
Sure, I'm not pushing nothing.
Yeah,
it's all in the van.
Who's driving the van?
My buddy Pat.
All right,
he's gonna because he's retired.
He's gonna play guitar.
He can play slide guitar for me and drive the mini RV.
Yeah, I told you my fear is cars. That is my absolute fear. Is that
well, I'll be walking. I won't be driving.
Well.
Oh, I see. Other cars. Other cars.
While you're walking on the side there. Because I only imagine you, you know, walking down four-lane, six-lane, eight-lane highways, and that's not the way to do it.
Highways and byways. I really want the byways more than the highways.
Right.
And I really want bucolic.
Okay, what... I'm not going to prolong this too much because I know you haven't thought about it a lot.
Like hardly at all.
But
so it wasn't really ready for podcast material.
Not unlike a month-long run streak or just jumping into a half marathon.
It's not this year.
Whatevs.
That's the short story.
But this is what I'm saying.
It's not now.
Fits into a wonderful pattern you have developed for yourself. Which
all or nothing.
From 0 to 100.
I'm the seesaw man.
100 days. 100 days, 100 nights across the country.
I'm going to say that that's the right time frame to do it in. I can't do it any faster.
No. What I want to ask you is, what do you plan on seeing?
This fine country of ours.
Okay.
At least the northern part of it, because I'm not really dipping down. I don't see myself going down into the heartland, per se. When I look, it seems like I'm going across, like the furthest north I'll go is probably into like... an Iowa, maybe into a Minnesota, and then into like South Dakota. I mean, that's going to be gorgeous, right? You got to get up and under the Great Lakes. I want to avoid taking ferries.
Yeah, you don't want to swim.
There was a route where I could go up into Canada.
So you have thought about this extensively.
Stop it.
You're revealing more consideration than I thought you've given this.
Thinking about it.
All right.
I'm just thinking.
I love it.
What's wrong with it?
Nothing. I love it.
I am
extremely jealous.
So if I could get a little sponsorship, and if I could get Greg Shea to film it, and I can get Jeff Cronenberg to produce some original music for it.
Great story. Andrea Bonnie-Gould, I'm sure, would be happy to make art for it.
I could probably raise some money for it.
Some social media presence. What's the
charity I'm doing it for? Because I can't do it just for me.
I don't know.
Could it be my foundation to be named soon?
Peter J. Villa.
Recovery Fund, because I'm going to be really sore after walking 100 days.
The Crankle Foundation?
It is like a crankle walk. Maybe people would join me on this crankle walk. Oh, maybe listeners from all across this great land would meet me at certain points and walk with me a little way.
Would you promise me just one thing?
I want to.
Can you do this without further injuring yourself? Because I'd like you to run with me again at some point in your life.
I think that will happen.
Okay.
And I think that will happen before I attempt walking across the country. Because you may never see me again. If I, like, you sort of wave bye-bye to me.
Well, it ends at the Pacific Ocean.
But if I start at Singing Beach in Manchester by the Sea, Massachusetts, on the Atlantic Ocean.
Which is obviously where you're starting.
Obviously, that's where I start.
Yeah.
And then I go all the way across the country to somewhere in either Oregon or Washington, because I've been looking at both.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as I dip my toe into the Pacific Ocean, you know, it would be great if I could raise just enough money for a plane ticket home. Wouldn't that be cool?
That's not really raising money. That's kind of...
begging?
Yeah.
Being indigent?
Yeah. That's like, I'm somewhere, I can't get to where I want to be. Please.
But you would be there. You would come for at least the send-off.
I mean, if I didn't have anything else going on.
Do you have other things planned?
That day, yes, actually.
Should I move the start of it?
I think you should.
I can do that.
Yeah, let's move it to another day.
Meanwhile, while we're getting ready for that, you're getting ready for something that's happening much, much sooner. Is that correct?
What is that? The release of this episode?
That, and the second running of the Boston Marathon for you.
For me.
But the first time as a guide runner... for Mr. Tim Sullivan.
Indeed, I'm so excited. And we got to talk to Tim.
Yeah, you forced it on us because you were feeling a little lost, I think.
I was. I needed to talk with my man, the guy who's going to be at my side, who I will be guiding. But remember, it is Tim's race. So I'm doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, you're like his bib.
Pretty much. That's how I'm feeling.
That's how
now.
You are. You're like a human-sized bib.
Yeah.
That's pinned like in one spot.
Right, one little
spot. And
just
flapping off to the side.
Yeah, three
sharp pins flailing.
Three pins. Oh, I see. I was going to say I'm the bib that's only pinned on with three pins and one corner flap. But
no,
what you're saying is
you're the
there's
bib
only
that's
one
only
attached.
One attached, yeah.
But then the other pins are still there.
They're like weapons. They're like they're flailing off to the side, keeping people at bay.
I think that's right,
which
actually.
Is accurate.
That is accurate.
So why don't we go now to join in progress
the
conversation that we were having
yeah.
with Mr. Tim Sullivan only a few short days ago.
Brian, we are now joined on the phone by your better half, Tim Sullivan, who is taking a little trip down Florida way to do some hot temperature training to get ready for what's going to be a spectacular Boston Marathon. Tim, can you hear us okay?
Sorry, the sun shines in my ears. You might have to talk a little louder.
Yes. Brian, do you hear me all right? Can you hear Tim? Can you see Tim?
I am on the phone. I can hear both of you. I'm very jealous that Tim is getting to run in the heat because, as we know, Boston might be a heat wave this year, or it might be a repeat of last year. Tim, can you talk a little bit about what last year's race was like and what that endurance battle, what that really meant to be out there for that long?
Yeah, last year's race was, and I'm this is not hyperbole when I say it is probably the worst race experience I have had in any race I've ever done. It's probably the closest I have come to feeling that I would not finish a marathon. At one point, again, I was running with a guide and previous guest on the podcast, Mark Ramey. And at one point, I was seriously worried that we would not be able to finish just because we were both so cold, wet, and starting to stop function that it was touch and go. And at one point, Mark said to me, he goes, like, Tim, I'm having trouble moving myself. I don't know how well I'm going to be able to guide you from here. And I said, like, let's just keep moving, because if we keep moving, we'll hopefully keep warm enough to not freeze and go hypothermic and be taken off the course. But it was wet, it was cold, it was rainy, it was miserable. But it was, I think, the most amazing thing that I had the entire day is just the people of Boston and all the other communities along the course that come out to cheer. And I'll say, you know, one of the things that kept me going is knowing you guys were going to be on top of Heartbreak. That was literally one of the things that I said to Mark is, like, let's just go. And, you know, the guys are going to be on top of Heartbreak. Thank God you guys were still there, because I don't know what that would have done to my fragile psyche at that point in time. But, like, everyone that does go to cheer, it's amazing. I ran into the running unicorn along the race, too. Like, running, she said, hey, Tim. I'm like, hi, I don't know who you are. And then so it was kind of fun. They were around, I think, around mile 24, 25. So it was a tough, grueling race. I'm a better person for having finished it, but I never want to do that again. But I will if it's conditions like that come race day.
Did our cheering you on make the difference?
It did. We'll say that. I mean, the fact that I don't like to quit is. I mean, I would have dragged Mark across the line should he have shut down, just to make sure that we both finished. But it was, all joking aside, it's amazing to have people cheer along the side of the course. But it's especially nice to have people, you know, friends waiting for you and cheering as well. And it was definitely a nice pick-me-up after finishing Heartbreak, knowing, thank God, we're done. Like, the hardest part is behind us. And then getting the amazing roar from you guys cheering us on, Mark and I, it helped both Mark and I. So we definitely appreciated that for sure.
And had my guiding you in the 5K 48 hours prior, had that given you such an experience that maybe the marathon wasn't so bad?
Yeah, I think when I finished that, I knew if I could finish that, I can finish anything. So it was that moral fortitude and the strength that I was given just allowed me to be able to power through and finish that swim to Boston that year last year.
And do you feel that having me as a guide has prepared you for what Brian will bring to the party?
Well, that'll be an excellent question to answer after the Boston Marathon, because I always look forward to running with new guides, because it's amazing to find anybody that is as generous and giving of their time, their efforts, and themselves to be able to help me do something that I couldn't do without their help. And, you know, Brian has talked in recent weeks about just the effort it takes to run a marathon. And this isn't even his marathon. And so it's amazing. And like last year, Peter, when you were talking about the training you were doing to make sure that you could even get guide the 5K, like it can't be said enough just how amazing both of you guys are to just out of the blue say yes to just some guy emailing and say, hey, you want to guide me in a race? And it means a lot to me. I'll Peter, when we were running, I'm sure I thanked you. I hope I thanked you repeatedly. And Brian, when we run Boston, I'm going to thank you repeatedly. I'm going to warn you now, you're going to get a lot of thanks that entire weekend. All guides, anyone that I've guided with and anyone that guides any other guides are fantastic, amazing people. So I'm excited that I got to break you into the fold of amazing people that are guides, Peter. And Brian, I look forward to breaking you in come to Boston Marathon.
Brian, what are your concerns? This is a big, big challenge for you. I know you've been training like the Dickens. And how are you feeling about it mentally, emotionally? Because physically you're all set, I can tell.
I'm getting a little concerned hearing words like breaking and training. I don't know anything about either of these. I don't want to be broken. And Tim, have you started training for this race? Is it time? It's March. I think it's probably time to start training. Oh, you've been running.
But it's only like 5 weeks away. So I figure I got another week or two, and then I can start.
That's right. You don't want to tire yourself out too early.
No, absolutely not.
When Tim first reached out, and the idea was for Peter and I to each split the race and do a half marathon with Tim, I thought that's a no-brainer. And then Peter's ankle issue continued to get worse instead of better, and I couldn't think of anything I wanted to do more, frankly, than have the opportunity to guide Tim in this race. For me, it'll just be experiencing it in a totally different way. But it'll also, I'm really looking forward to, frankly, running with you for 26 miles, hopefully 26.2 miles. And it's interesting because we won't run together until that day. So if I'm worried about anything, it's just the first 5 miles or so, or maybe even the first 500 feet of figuring out the process. But we have an awfully long time to figure it out. I think it'll go well. We're both talkers, so we'll certainly let the time pass. And I'm really, really looking forward to it. I have my concerns, of course, because it's something I've never done before. But Tim has been so reassuring and not nonchalant, but confident. So I think some of that confidence is wearing off on me. So I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you don't mind me bringing it up, but you did when you wrote me the email saying that Peter's defective leg was going to prevent him from guiding. You had a lot of concerns. You were worried, you know, could you do this? And you say nonchalance, but honestly, what's the worst that can happen? Yes, I could trip or I could run into somebody else. But what's, like, yes, okay, the worst that could happen is maybe I could trip and fall and potentially hurt myself. But the chance of that happening is very slim. And like I said to you when I responded, picture yourself going out for a run with a buddy. And if you're running out with a buddy that has full sight, if it's icy or if there's a pothole or if there's something, you're probably going to call it and go, hey, watch out for that pothole. Well, that's really all you've got to do. It's not rocket science. It's not reinventing the wheel. I do have some usable vision. So I have enough that I joke that I have enough to be dangerous to myself because I don't know what I don't see and I don't think it's there, but it's not a difficult thing to run. And we will have time prior to the actual race day to get some just, we'll go over some of the commands and the guidance and to practice just, even if you need the boosting confidence, just to practice what it's like to walk and guide with me. But it's going to be fine, man. You got this.
I actually have a quick question, Tim, about your vision. From where you were 1 year ago, is it about the same quality? Has there been any changes?
It does slowly get worse over time, but it happens so slowly that I don't notice it until I look back, say, 5 years ago, and I realized, oh, it's gotten worse. So it was just at meetings this earlier this week at work, and we were looking at what's the oldest app you downloaded on your phone. And I looked at it, and it was this game that I downloaded back in, like, 2008 or 2009. And I re-downloaded it again to sort of relive the good old days back 10 years ago. And it was amazing the difference in my vision and how much harder it was for me to play this game on my phone, just because I'm seeing that much less of my phone's screen. It might be worse, but I wouldn't think it's considerably worse. And it is something that does, you know, eventually hopefully it doesn't, but eventually it'll go almost completely gone. But I'm enjoying what I can see now until that point happens.
And Tim, we're running with a group called Team with a Vision. Can you talk a little bit about that organization? And you're fundraising, of course, for them, and we'll have the information if people want to contribute. But what's the importance of Team for Vision for people who are losing their sight or who are blind?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Team with a Vision, I've this is my fifth year running the Boston Marathon this year, and every year I've been lucky enough to run with Team with a Vision. And they're the sort of the charity arm that supports the Massachusetts Association for the Blind and the Visually Impaired. And they're basically the organization that looks after supporting anybody with vision loss in the state of Massachusetts. And so that's whether it's people that were, like myself, born with a visual impairment, or, you know, the aging community that are losing their sight, whether it's due to glaucoma or any sort of visual, as you get older, your vision goes, and so they help support those people as well. And so the monies that Team of the Vision raise goes directly towards helping those people in Massachusetts with vision loss, with one-to-one volunteer pairing, with life skills training, with anything they need to really help them get by day to day. And I think in the description on the fundraising page, it talks about some of the things that, you know, like $20 can help pay for a volunteer to help. And so it's amazing how much, you know, how little it takes to help a lot. And I love running with Team of the Vision as well, because, you know, they're an amazing group of people. And couple of weekends that I've been, I've just seen just how much they help the community in Massachusetts that are suffering with vision loss. And I've met some of the volunteers that help throughout the year, and I've met some of the people that have gotten help from the MAB-V, as they call themselves. And it's just amazing what they do. And I'm actually quite jealous of the level of support that the people in Massachusetts have, compared to even what I get in Canada from our own blind organization here in Canada. Does a fraction of what MAB does. And I'm jealous. That's why I love supporting them, because even race weekend, they do a lot for us runners, and they really support the visually impaired runners in the field as well, in providing safe places for us to stay, or help organize with hotels, help get us to and from the airports if we're flying in, help organize activities throughout the weekend, just so that even the blind and the visually impaired runners that are coming into Boston from all over the world have a safe and happy running experience as well. So I love helping MAB-V, and I love helping Team with a Vision, just because they do so much for everybody.
Wow, that's tremendous. So they help any, you know, all the runners who have a visual impairment or are blind who are coming in, sort of coordinate their weekend and their Boston Marathon experience?
Yeah, if we go back to 2014 when I was getting ready to run the 2015 Boston Marathon, I was just on Facebook. I can't even remember where I was, but I got this message from some guy I never heard of, a guy by the name of Josh Warren. And he's like, "Hey, Tim, I organize Team with a Vision. We're a bunch of blind runners that run the Boston Marathon. Would you like to run with us?" And I was like, "Sure, absolutely. Like, what do I have to do to apply to the teams? Like, just submit this, like, you're in. Just submit this application. We'd love to have you run with us." And it's just that the welcome that they gave just in the beginning was, like, an amazing. And I tell them, you know, as much as it's amazing to run the Boston Marathon, anyone that's run the Boston Marathon before, you know how exciting it is, you know how much of a draw it is to run the Boston Marathon. So if you keep that in mind and you picture that, the love, the help, and the support that Team with a Vision has given me year after year is as big a draw for me to come to Boston every year as running the marathon. So the support they give to, and it is literally worldwide. I run with runners. Last year, I was on the bus going to Hockington, and I was chatting with a guy from India that had a visual impairment that was running the Boston Marathon for the first time, and they helped him in his weekend running the Boston Marathon. It was amazing to talk to him about the challenges that he has in India running as a visually impaired runner that have far less infrastructure in place to help people with a disability, and yet he could get marathon training in. And so, like, they do everything from doing, like, picking you up at the airport, taking you to your hotel or wherever you're staying. They organize team dinners and activities throughout the weekend. They take people to a Red Sox game if you want. The Delta Gamma Sorority, they are sort of the one of the biggest volunteers that a lot of the sisters in that amazing sorority volunteer their time throughout the weekend to act as guides for athletes and their families. And they do tours of Boston if you want it. They help you get to and fro. If you're wondering how to get somewhere, they'll help you get there with public transit, or they've got a couple of vans they run to shuttle. Like, it's a truly VIP experience for the athletes that is just an amazing thing that Team of the Vision does. And Andrea Croke is now she's the new woman that runs it. Her and her team are just fantastic. The team they have run it throughout the year and the volunteers they get are just amazing. And the past, this is the last year and this year, they actually organize homestays. There's people in Brookline, and Peter got to meet, I think Peter met my host last year when he picked me up for the 5K. But I got to stay in this gorgeous, amazing home in Brookline and meet the family and talk to them and get a better history and understanding of what it is to be in Brookline and just take that marathon weekend experience to another level.
Now, are you running the 5K this year as well? No.
No, I mean, really, after running a 5K with Peter Avila, there's no possible way that you could really get top that experience. So at least for the next few years, I think I've just got to let that experience fade as into the distant fond memory. So I'm just focusing on the marathon this year.
I think that's wise.
It really is. It is. I mean, I think just the stresses on the streets of Boston alone just need recovery from that. I need at least a couple of years.
That was the Clyde Army duo coming down down Beacon Street, I think it was. Or were you on Conn?
Yeah,
on Boylston? What? No, you finished up on Boylston, right?
Yes, it goes down Conn and comes back on Boylston. So. Right. I'm just glad they were able to buff out the hoof marks for actual Marathon Monday last year coming down Boylston, because especially with the rain, those would have been some massive puddles to splash through. So I'm just glad they could clear those out.
They just filled them with empty cups. That's what they did.
Right.
They filled those holes with empty cups. It was fine. Tim, you have a lot more experience in running endurance length distances than I do. And, if anything is intimidating me or encouraging me, it's sort of a double edge here. It's actually your experience, and I'm going to lean on that a little bit. I've run two marathons, and I've been training, but you have the mental experience to do this. Can you just remind me a little bit of your number of marathons and some of your longer distances that you've experienced?
For sure. So I've got 12 marathons completed. I've completed 1¾ ultra marathons. I had to drop out. I did attempted a 50 miler last year, but had to drop out after three laps of the 20K course just because I was progressively having a knee that was just getting worse and worse and worse. And even though I had like 14 hours to finish, I wanted to live to run another day. So I sort of at the time was the smart choice. I made it to bow out, but looking back almost a year later, I kind of wish I would have finished, but that's sort of the hindsight that I knew was going to happen. So yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's mental fortitude or just stubbornness not to quit, just to be able to finish all those races.
When you're deep in the pain cave there, it really doesn't matter. It's whatever gets you through.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's my experience. And so
yeah.
I think we're going to be metaphorically, if not in fact, physically leaning on each other after we come through Cleveland Circle in that last 6 miles. But I'm really looking forward to it. We'll have passed Peter at that point, I think. Peter and Andrea, hopefully, will be standing at the top of Heartbreak Hill. And we'll see lots of other friends along the way. And sort of that 6-mile victory shoot through Brookline. It's just, you know, I'm keeping my focus on that.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite parts of the course. That and Newton, actually, is we actually named our dog Newton because Newton is my favorite part of the course because it's the hardest.
Oh, talk a little bit about that. Why, you know, you turn at the firehouse, and then there they are, the Newton Hills. It's the challenge of it is what you're looking forward to?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple of things. And really, for me, Newton starts when you do that big hill coming out of Wellesley, and when you do that climb, the first climb over the overpass coming out of Lower Newton Falls. That's when Newton really starts me, because that's when the course really starts to suck. But for me, it's a couple of things. It's I like the challenge of, I like that it's the part of the course that people like the least. It's what I love the most because, and it, you know, when you're talking about having that mental toughness to endure, I can't remember who coined the phrase "embrace the suck," but that really is what I like. Is really what I really love doing. For me, running and doing anything difficult, it's 90% mental. If you think you can do something, that's pretty much all you need to do it in a lot of cases. And so if you're running an endurance race like the Boston Marathon, you know what? Newton is a tough part of the course. But none of the hills are difficult on their own. It's just where you come at them in the course, and it's just the mental, this is the hard part of the course. Well, if you flip that on its head and you look forward to it, it's a gorgeous part of the course. It's rolling, it's windy, the houses and the mansions are great. Some of the best spectators are there because they don't sort of barricade off that one side of the course. You've just got a rope, so there's a lot of people that can get in nice and close. And that's why I love that part of the course the most, because it's the one that people don't like. It's the one that people dread. People dread getting to Newton. And if you can flip that on its head and it looks forward to Newton, you blow through it, even though I'm not fast. So I'm not fast, so I never blow through Newton, but it's over before you know it. And that's what I love about it. And so that's the part I look forward to the most, because once you're done Newton, once you get up Heartbreak, once you see that Tudor house, once Peter yells and cheers you on, you know you've got the hardest part behind you. And as you say, it's the rest is just a victory lap. It's pretty much downhill from there, except for the one overpass by Fenway. And it just cruises in from there. So if you can get to Newton and then embrace it and enjoy it, it's the best part of the course.
But Brian, be clear, don't actually flip Tim over on his head. That's not what I'm doing.
Okay. Yeah, I've been taking notes.
I was worried you were cluing in on that.
When he said flip it on its head, yeah, okay.
Literal, and the one thing you probably do as a guide is not that.
All right. I'm striking that from the record. Tim's a bigger man than I am in many ways, and physically probably most of all. But Mark Remy is slighter than I am by a far shot. Now, how is it running with Mark? Because just in terms of pace and everything else, I mean, really, Tim, you're setting the pace. This is your race. So how did I think we're a little closer matched in probably pace for training than you and Mark, who's a greyhound essentially. Was there any talk or anything during the race about pacing or having to hold him back at all? Just by natural tendency, not that he would want to run faster.
Yeah, for sure. No, I think, it's interesting. A lot of the guides I get are very accomplished runners, very fast runners, just because I think a lot of them completing a marathon in 3 hours, all right, great. Where's the challenge in that anymore? And so they look for a new challenge, new ways to sort of give back to the sport. So I think that's why a lot of fast runners are guides. But most people, it's not difficult for them to slow that pace down, because as you say, it's they get in their mind, so this is Tim's race, and how is Tim going to run it? What's the pace that Tim wants to do? And so I think it's for a lot of them, it's easy. You know, if you figure for you and I, Brian, much slower pace runners, as you say, where I think we're closer matched as far as pace, you're a little quicker than I, which is why I could feel confident asking you to be a guide. But if I asked you to walk a marathon, you could do that easily because it's lower than your pace that you're used to running it. And so I think if you slow down, it just becomes that much easier to to finish things. And so I think that's why a faster guide, for the most part, doesn't have a huge issue, at least in my experience, usually doesn't have an issue guiding a considerably slower runner. And I think it also sort of it helps, too, because last year when we were running Boston with Mark, as we sort of were starting to finish and it was really cold, he did let me know that he was having a slight issue with his thigh that started mile 7. But he didn't say anything because he goes, I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want you to worry. And in the beginning half, we had a team with a vision. The one thing they'll do is they try to pair up runners with additional guides if they have other people that want to experience that, want to help with that. So I had a second guide with me for the first half of the course. And as he's running with me, he's like, all right, are you guys good? And Mark's like, yeah, we're good. I said, all right, I'm going to see if anybody else needs my help once we got to Wellesley. And that's sort of where that transition point was. And I said to Mark afterwards, I'm like, why did you let him go if you weren't sure what was happening with your leg? Mark's like, well, I don't know. I thought it might be fine. But I think Mark's slower pace helped with that because he wasn't stressing it as if he was trying to run for like a 3-hour marathon. So, I think that helps running with fast people because they don't have to stress themselves. They're not as mentally tired towards at the end of the race as well. So that's possibly one challenge that we'll have, Brian. Hopefully between our marathon brains, we'll still be good. But I think that's really the benefit of running with fast people is less stress for them.
And it's probably the longest amount of time they've ever spent in their running sneakers, I would guess.
Absolutely.
They're thinking, boy, I've usually changed my shoes by now. That's probably the biggest issue for them. Whereas you and I have spent many, 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 many hours out on the road. Now, I don't want to keep you from that warm Florida sun. And I do want to just ask you, if you have run today, I want to ask you the question. How was your run today?
I'll do it. You know, I've been guests of you guys several times on the podcast. This is the first time you guys have asked that question. And every time afterwards, I'm like, I can't believe I I've never gotten to answer the question. So I'm just going to savor this moment for just a second. Okay, good. Yes. Yes, I have run today. I'm visiting my parents at their house in Central Florida. So I was chomping at the bit to run and not have to worry about slipping on ice or snow. And I was thinking this morning when I was at front, it's like running through a set of Golden Girls because they live in a retirement community. And so I thought I ran by Dorothy the other day, a little while. And I think Blanche was out there walking her dog. And so it's nice to be able to just run and enjoy heat and weather and sweat and all that fun stuff that comes with running in nice weather.
I think Peter found this on that marathon a couple of years ago. Did you run in 2016, Peter? Was that the hot one?
No, yep. 17.
17?
Yep, that was a hot one too.
Now, I have found when the weather changes like that, it actually takes me a while for my body to figure out what to do. So I don't know how long you ran for, Tim, but did you have a transition issue going from real extreme cold in Ontario to...
Yeah, I mean, I did an easy 10K, it definitely, my body wasn't happy about it, but I'd also spent like 23 hours in my car yesterday driving down here, so that I think also had a lot to do with it too. So I think I don't mind the heat, I don't mind running in it. I think it comes back to that embrace the suck. A lot of people hate the heat, hate running in it. It's too hot, I'm going to be sweaty, I'm getting uncomfortable, and if you just embrace that, it's not as bad, and so that's it's a little tough, but I put the suckiness of the run, the slower pace of the run, just down to my body's just still unwinding from having to be cooped up in the car that long.
Yeah, I'm amazed you could actually move your legs, but the temptation to get out there in nice weather and run is too much for sure. I love it. I will be hopefully thawing out with the rest of New England over the next few weeks, and hopefully by mid-April we will have pleasant enough weather maybe without being too hot. But it's always for Boston, it's always a balance between good weather for runners and good weather for spectators. You want it somewhere in the middle, so you have huge crowds and cool enough conditions to run in comfortably.
I think I speak for most of the listeners selfishly to say that I hope it's a really good spectator day, and I don't really care about what you guys get because I have to stand up on that hill for the majority of the day. So help me out.
Well, I have to say I actually lean on the hoping for a good spectator day more than a good running day myself as well because – for me, Boston, I think you guys have said it before, but like Boston is the victory lap. I mean, Boston is such a goal for so many runners that it's the marathon that I run just for the experience of running the marathon. I don't really worry about time. I mean, I'm a runner, so yes, I do have some time goals, but I don't really care what time I finish it in. So I'd rather have the great weather for the spectators, to have big crowds, have little kids out there cheering on. That, to me, makes the experience more than having a perfect day for running and having the crowds be less. So I'm with you there, Peter. I hope that you definitely have that great spectator day. But I've had 2 years where it's been cold, wet, and rainy. I've had 2 years that it's been hot and sunny. And all four of those years, I was fairly well trained for the marathon. This year, my training isn't where I need to be. So I'm predicting this year is going to be a perfect running day. for running the marathon because I'm not trained to get that perfect marathon time in. But that'll be fine because it'll still be an enjoyable run.
Well, I was going to say the only time goal I'm going to have from now on going forward, and this is true for being a spectator but also being a race participant in the future, my only time goal now is to have a good time.
Absolutely.
I love it. I can't think of a better goal than that, actually, and that is all I'm looking forward to. And I'm really looking forward to running with Tim on April 15th. I'm psyched. I was a little nervous, putting all my cards on the table. But I'm growing in confidence, and just hearing Tim, cool, calm, and casual is just great. So I'm ready to go, and whatever the weather. I think Tim and I are going to have a really fun day.
Indeed.
All right. Well, you heard it here. Tim Sullivan, Brian Gould, thank you so much for being on the program. Thank you, Tim. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. Get some good runs in, and we'll see you in a few short weeks.
I cannot wait, guys. Good luck in enjoying the weather this weekend, Brian. And Peter.
Oh, I don't do anything anymore. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tim Sullivan. Tim Sullivan, when gonna run with Tim Sullivan?
Do you like that little ditty?
What is this?
What's happening? I had that commissioned by Mr. Jeff Kronenberg.
Peter, what I mean, it's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's appropriate.
It is appropriate.
But I don't. Does it reference something?
Yeah. See, you're not cultured.
Okay.
And that's a problem.
I'm not kombucha'd.
You're not kombucha'd, and you're not...
I'm not fermented.
No, you're not.
Is that what you're saying? I'm not a yogurt?
No, because you're training. You can't be fermented yet.
Okay.
That...
What is the hole in my cultural...
Well, we needed a Tim Sullivan musical sting.
Yeah, clearly.
So Jeff Kronenberg and I were out and about the other day, and I said, you know what I'd like? Is I'd like a little Tim Sullivan sting, but could you reference Bye Bye Birdie?
Okay.
Which is a musical.
I know that much.
Okay.
But that's all I know.
And that is about Ed Sullivan, the original song.
Oh.
And about being on Ed Sullivan and watching Ed Sullivan, how great Ed Sullivan is.
Okay.
So if you haven't seen Bye Bye Birdie,
yes.
Walk Don't Run to Turner Classic Movies. Mm-hmm. It's going to be on Friday night,
okay.
In case you catch this in time.
When someone's listening to this in 2025.
No, it's always on Fridays.
Oh, okay.
And if you've never seen it, in the movie version, Paul Lynde, actually on Broadway, and then in the movie, Paul Lynde sung the song originally.
Paul Lynde?
But this was not the first version of the sting that
Do you mean Center Square Paul Lynde?
I do. He later goes on to that, yes. But no, this was not Jeff's first attempt. He did a jokier version.
Yeah.
Would you like to hear that? It's a short little thing. You'll get it instantly.
Okay.
So let's play that.
Tim. Tim.
See what he did there? He actually took the song and he just dropped out the words that didn't matter.
I can also see why it didn't make the cut.
Yeah, no.
I mean, I love it.
I love it. That's why we gave it some airtime. But no. No, I love his new version. It's great. Yeah. And actually, he did the full song. So if you stick around through the credits of this episode and you really are a Bye Bye Birdie fan or a Tim Sullivan fan, you might want to hear the whole song.
Is it on full-length LP? Like, do I have to set up my record player to put it into the podcast?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's an act break. You have to flip the album, the whole thing. It's going to be great. Right, well,
then we'll have to save that for after the credits.
Before we go, are you good? How have your runs been?
Oof, that's a question. That's a serious question.
All right, well, we'll see you next week.
So maybe.
No, you did a 20 the other day.
Yeah, it was a rough one.
You weren't really...
I ran with a friend.
Yeah.
We did 15 solid. Solid. Chatty the whole way.
Felt good. Felt strong.
Chatting so much, I just didn't even think I needed to take my little fueling.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, so at 10 miles, I had a little snack.
Well, this is your first time training. I can understand.
I've never done this before.
Yeah,
And then I hit 15 miles, and...
come on, rookie.
And it all fell apart.
Yeah, of course it did.
And so that's what happened. So then, of course, you know, if you're a certain kind of person, if you're a certain kind of runner, you're only as good as your last run.
You mean like a full-grown person?
Yeah. So like me, I have no perspective. I only say, my last run was horrible, so I'm a horrible runner. So I sat with that for about 4 or 5 days.
And then you thought about, oh, I didn't really feel right. And if I didn't feel right, my body fails.
With your help, I'll give you a lot of credit.
Yeah.
Thank you for helping me see the perspective I needed. And then I went out for maybe a couple other runs. They felt pretty good. I did a 14. Okay.
What?
We have a whole episode coming up about the VO2 max. You may have seen some of that on social media.
Right, right.
The heart rates. The only tidbit I will give you is that he recommended I lower my heart rate while I run long runs all the way down to 135.
Meaning you have to slow down physically.
Well, that's the only way to get
the tempo of your run because that way.
Or I have to go down in altitude, but from Boston, that's impossible.
I mean, you can get into some tunnels.
I guess.
But
I think then you run into other problems.
Whole other thing.
So I tried that.
Take the tempo down.
But the issue was that I ran so slow, I actually ran up against a time limit.
Yeah, it became the next day.
Yeah, I had things to do, so I had to cut my run 1 mile short. Sure. But it felt fine. It was slow.
Right.
It was slow. But you're not going to hurt yourself doing that. That's one thing I found.
Sure.
But I think for the process of the next couple of long ones, I can't do it. I can't be out there for 3 hours.
No, you got to get this stuff done.
So I've got an 18 this week and then a 20 next week. And then I'm tapering for 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's right there. It's right there to grasp. We're ready to go. And I thought what was amazing about talking with Tim was he's like, yeah, I might eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich beforehand. And then I'm good to go for like 4.5 hours. Which is astounding to me because I fall apart. I have found I have to fuel.
I just want to step back. You just said you're going to be doing a run this weekend, an 18.
Yes.
And then next weekend, the 20? Or is it 2 weeks away?
No, next weekend.
And that'll be your second 20 of this run.
Yes.
Of this run of workouts, I mean.
Correct.
That's pretty darn good. You should be super ready.
I should be, and that's why I'm concerned. Because I don't feel ready at all.
I get you. Well, I hope talking to Tim helped you.
It certainly did. It certainly did.
It certainly did.
It certainly did.
And it was so odd because we always think of him as our neighbor to the north. And, of course, we were talking to him from Florida.
It was unusual.
yeah.
But, you know, after, what did he say, 24 hours in the car?
Something like 26 or something crazy.
He deserves some sun and fun.
He deserves a good time.
Hey, look, let's go bye-bye Birdie.
Oh, I see. We're doing that?
Yeah.
Hey. This has been episode 159 of How Was Your Run Today with Brian Gould and Peter Villa. Anna Brooks is our social media guru. Andrea Bonnie Gould is our artist in residence. And all of the music that you've heard today, and will hear in a minute, by composer extraordinaire Jeff Cronenberg.
Peter, when you return to running, you can join us on the Sat Stat Chats.
Yes, I've been keeping quiet.
Yes.
But when I get back...
You can join us on any form of social media. That's LinkedIn and MySpace.
Twitch.
No, that is, of
course.
Hit
me on TikTok.
Snapchat me. That is Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please tell us how your run was, where you ran, what the weather was like.
And your astrological sign.
Please tell us where you ran, what the weather was like.
And your sandwich order.
And please include a sweet, sweet photo.
Whole wheat?
Peter, I can't tell anybody anything about the show. Where would somebody go to find out more?
For everything else, you go to hwrt.com. That's howwasyourruntoday.com. Brian, I don't want to keep people waiting any longer. I present to you some of Jeff Cronenberg's finest work. Thank you, Tim.
Tim Sullivan. Me, Brian Gould, running with Tim Sullivan.
Tim Sullivan.
Tim Sullivan. Tim Sullivan. Tim Sullivan.
Tim Sullivan. Tim Sullivan, when gonna run with Tim Sullivan? How could any podcast be quite as fortunate as we? We'll be coast to coast, we're his favorite hosts, Tim Sullivan. Ryan's gonna run with Tim Sullivan.
I got a wonderful wife, a swell co-host, and now this.
Someday we'll recall the greatest episode of all.
Tim, we love you.
Tim Sullivan.